Back in April, the Michigan State University Board of Trustees approved the appointment of June Pierce Hewitt to the position of provost. As provost and executive vice president for academic affairs, she's in charge of academic initiatives here at MSU. She had served as interim provost for more than a year before succeeding Kim Wilcox, who is now chancellor at the University of California, Riverside. June Hewitt joins us today to talk about her priorities as provost at a Big Ten university. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
We call you the chief academic officer. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it has different understandings given different populations. I've heard it described as the dean of the deans, which is kind of a nice idea, the leader of faculties. But it primarily gives me the responsibility for providing the academic direction of the institution and aligning all of our resources, our human and financial resources around those priorities.
That sounds like a job and a half.
It is a job and a half, and it is the best job.
Oh, okay. You did not intend to apply to become provost while serving in as interim. What changed?
Well, I think I probably changed. I was committed to serving the previous provost, and that was actually great fun. Being second is a different job. There's a different set, maybe not a different set of responsibilities, but a different sense of responsibility, certainly, when you are providing support and assistance versus being the decision maker. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't at all sure that I wanted that responsibility, nor that the university was best served. I've been here a long time, and I thought there was some advantage to bringing in someone who had a different perspective and different ideas. I still value that, but I think during the process of the year as interim, I began to understand the opportunities. If you understood and knew the assets of the university, it really is an advantage in some ways to know the players, to know the opportunities, and to have the relationships already so that you know who to go to, who can lead, who has the enthusiasm and the ambition. There's some nuance to this job, actually. And so I began to think about what the opportunities might be to be in that role and decided.
Here you are.
And here I am.
Yeah. MSU Provost June Hewitt is our guest here on Current State. You laid out a busy agenda for your first days, work on a pilot teaching and technology lab, planning a new integrated science building, a healthy campus initiative. Let's go through those one at a time and update us on those, the pilot teaching and tech lab.
Well, I'm hoping next year to bring together through some faculty leadership all of the resources that are on our campus around innovations in teaching and learning. Certainly everyone has been aware of some of the technological changes in instruction. And MOOCs have captured the attention not just of the higher education world, but of those across the country and actually across the world. MOOCs are not going to put Michigan State University out of business, but with any
these are massive open online courses.
Yes.
We'll clarify.
Yes, and that's probably important. People say it and don't know what it is, but there are great opportunities through the use of technology, both in delivering an instruction and learning how students learn. So I'm hoping this year to bring together all of the assets that are in different places on the campus. We have lots going on in online education, and hybrid education is a mix of face-to-face and technology-enhanced teaching. But our assets are scattered, and if we decided to bring those together and to create some real goals around where MSU wants to be in terms of teaching, technology, and space, I think we could really be an international leader in this area.
Sounds ambitious. Is it fair to say MSU's approach to MOOCs has been relatively cautious so far?
I think cautious is one term. I think another is strategic. I don't think that there is anyone waiting out there for one more online introductory physics course. It's just not there. There were a set of people who, some for-profits, some nonprofits, who jumped out really early in this space and have in some cases done very well, in other cases not. The conversation now across the country is, who are you going to go with? Which company are you signing up with? We've tried to figure out what's our real comparative advantage. What are the areas in which an MSU MOOC or an MSU online program is unique? Where is our niche? And I think holding back a little bit, it may be cautious, it may just be smart, and deciding where we can actually be a leader is our strategy.
A new integrated science building.
Oh, this is very ambitious. So all of the big problems that are left are interdisciplinary problems, right? There is no save the world problem that will be solved by a single discipline. It really is about bringing people together in interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary ways to do the research to answer the questions. So MSU is particularly well-positioned to bring together scientists around food security, energy, and the environment. And if you think about the confluence of those three areas, you begin to think about the opportunities for some pretty significant work. We love to have a space where those scientists can collaborate. We don't have that space. We don't have that building. We don't have the funding for that building. But as we begin to talk about what our priorities are on campus, that certainly is one of them. Will that emerge as the next building project on campus? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But it certainly is worth discussion.
Budget and state funding challenges have triggered some tough decisions in recent years. Small but impactful programs like music therapy, mm-hmm. American Sign Language were cut. Any regrets about academic cuts that have been made?
I don't think regrets in terms of second thoughts. I think regrets in terms of having to let things go because of financial concerns. But I think one of the advantages, if you can call it that, of that tough decision-making time is that I think the campus as a community understands that there cannot be any more business as usual, that we will never come to that place again where the state provides 75% of our general fund. We will always live in this state of having to, not the state of Michigan, this condition where we have to be critical about where our resources go.
And are other administrators and faculty getting that message? Are they absorbing that message? And is that a part of their evaluations and decision-making processes?
I think there's some administrators, some faculty, some colleges, some units that understand it very well and who every day think, is this the best use of the resources that we have? And what are opportunities to capture other resources externally? So much grant and contract activity, a lot of entrepreneurship on campus, and that's good. That's the way we will have to live in this new environment. There are other places who still wish that we could go back to the good old days, and I understand that too. I was hired in those in a time when faculty believed that they would have an opportunity their entire lives to pursue the work that was most important to them and that they would be well cared for. And so the contract has changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And faculty understand that to do the work they most want to do, it may require finding external support to help do that.
Professor William Penn's classroom tirade got a lot of attention when a video was posted on the internet. He was later reassigned. This was a anti-Republican tirade that stirred all of this up. Were you involved with dealing with that, the aftermath of that?
I was, and those were in my first days. That was kind of
welcome to your new job.
Yes, and that's okay because it was grace under pressure, I hope. Those are difficult decisions. Those are difficult circumstances. I have so much respect for my faculty colleagues, but we make very different decisions under different circumstances. And so trying to be respectful of the freedom of faculty to teach and do their work in the ways that they believe is appropriate, but thinking about the institution, the institutional reputation, but more importantly, about the covenant we really have with our students to create an environment where they can learn, where they feel safe, where they believe that they're respected.
And this episode jeopardized.
Well, it did. And for me, that was the principle that was used in the decision making.
The focus that this event took on our program was that you saw two campus traditions colliding head on. One, academic freedom. The other, an atmosphere of civility. Is it fair to look at it that way?
I think it's quite fair to look at it that way. Certainly civility writ large, but then again, the environment, the learning environment for students, and at what point is that jeopardized because students are concerned about being able to express their own thoughts and to speak freely. Mm-hmm.
June Hewitt is our guest, Michigan State University Provost. It's no secret MSU has been under federal investigation for its handling of sexual assaults on campus. Are you involved in that? And if so, what are your plans regarding services for student victims of sexual assault?
Well, I think we're all involved at some level, and I think we all assume some shared responsibility for the kind of environment we create going forward. I think we're all very concerned about not just how we respond to students when there has been some incident that causes them concern, but how it is that we prepare students to live on this campus and to respect one another. And that's where a great deal of our attention is going. Students really need to understand when they step onto this campus what our expectations are for the ways in which they interact and treat one another.
The university's planning to hire more investigators. Do you know if there's a plan to hire more sexual assault counselors or victim advocates to keep up with the rise in reporting?
Well, I think we feel as if we can redeploy resources in that area in terms of early response to individuals. I think the investigations and the investigators is much more technical. And while we have people who are very well prepared in our counseling center, in our health center, in our clinics on campus that can step up and be prepared to work with students who have concerns, I think we need to assure everyone that we will be much faster to respond in investigating allegations. And that's really where I think the criticism has come. It's really been about speed.
MSU has one of the highest percentages of Chinese students in the nation. This has created challenges. How would you improve the experience for everyone here at MSU given this rise?
That's a great question, and a question that is being asked and answered all across the country. And in fact, frequently, individuals from other places are calling MSU and asking how it is that we're doing it, because we've really done some things in terms of food service and campus support in our residence halls that other universities are trying to emulate. We're going to spend some time this year thinking about that, actually. That's on my list of things to do. I think we did some good work last year in our orientation programs. For the first time, we did some things that perhaps better prepared our international students for the expectations on campus. We also did some work last year in helping our faculty adopt and adapt classroom strategies for working with international students, and not just working with international students, but creating classroom environments that were inclusive of students. And that went very well. So we're going to expand that this year. Faculty are very interested in thinking about how it is that you work in these classrooms now that are much more cosmopolitan than they were. I came here 32 years ago. My graduate students were primarily from Africa at that time. That's not the look of the campus any longer. And mm-hmm. so making sure that we create, again, classroom learning environments where everyone has a positive experience and the faculty can do their best work is the goal. So we'll think about that.
There is an enormous ongoing debate as to how best to educate public school children, not just in Michigan, but across the country, traditional public schools, charter schools, homeschooling. How does this debate play out in your office? How does that impact you as provost of MSU?
It has some very, very significant impacts. First of all, we have a dean of the College of Education now who is very concerned about education, educational quality, particularly of low-income students. And I think his state leadership, I mean, he's a national leader, but I think he can have some significant influence on what happens in Michigan. For us, we see every day, and it's our challenge, we see very, very capable students, students that we want to bet on as being successful, who come to us with significant academic gaps in their preparation. They have come from schools where they did not, they're not really prepared to do what they're being asked to do at an institution like Michigan State University.
That sounds like a serious problem, challenge.
It is a serious challenge, but we are working hard. We have a number of programs to try to help students really catch up and have had some remarkable success. We're seeking funding now from a number. We have funding from a number of agencies, but we're seeking additional funding from some Michigan foundations because we have been successful in helping students, particularly in quantitative skills, catch up and to do it fairly quickly. But it's resource intense. These are bright students, and they can do it with good instruction done well, but it is not inexpensive.
June Hewitt is the provost, the chief academic officer, the dean of deans. Here, we learned another title for what you do here today. June Hewitt here at Michigan State University. Many thanks for joining us.
You're so welcome.